time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 681 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, accomplished comics artist Adriana Mello is the guest. Adriana is a comic book artist who has worked for DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Titan, Comixology, and Image, among others. She currently has a crowdfunding project underway with Zoop.gg for her first art book. Here's that book's description. The Adriana Mello art book highlights the range of artwork from Adriana over the past few years. From fandom sketches to pinups, inks to grays to full-blown color pieces, Adriana has poured her heart into each and every piece. We discuss how this art book came to be, explore her career as a successful comics artist, and find out what we could see from her in the months ahead. Supporting Adriana in this book allows her to spend more time on creator-owned projects, as well as devote more time to new artistic covers and comic art. So be sure to support her Zoop.gg crowdfunder as soon as you finish listening to this episode. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Adriana has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Adriana Mello is a comic book artist that's worked for DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Titan, Comixology, and Image, I'm sure, among others. Some of the books she's worked on as a penciler and artist include Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, Star Wars Empire, Rose and Thorn, Witchblade, Miss Marvel, Birds of Prey, and Catwoman. She also had a 15-issue run on a monthly series called New Adventures of the Ninth Doctor. Other miniseries she drew included Harley and Ivy Meet Betty and Veronica, Plastic Man, Female Furies, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, Wonder Girl, Trial of the Amazons, and Obi-Wan. You can see her most recent run on Power Girl for DC Comics. And the reason why we're talking, and we are actually talking on the very first day of Zoop.gg, this fundraiser, a crowdfunder. And if you want to see her art, I always feel a little limited when I'm talking to an artist and an audio-only podcast. If you go to Zoop.gg/C as in cat/ Adrian Mello, it's Adriana Mello, you can see her artwork while we're talking. And I think that's a wise idea so you can get a grasp of what she's doing. So how's it going, Adriana?
Yay, that's going great. I was super, super, super anxious about the crowdfunding. But hey, on a first day.
Yeah, we should catch. We got to do some congratulations in here. Within hours of the Zoop.gg program starting up, not only did you meet your goal, but you're almost, as we're talking now, still on the first day, you're almost twice what your goal was. So that's mighty good. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I have to say I'm surprised. I had no idea how things would go. It's my very first experience in a crowdfunding, so yay! Today was amazing.
It's something. Did you watch it as it happened? I mean, once it, because a lot of people, when you do crowdfunding, they refresh the screen all the time to see if people have put in bids. When I was looking at your stuff at a certain point, and I realized you were halfway there, almost immediately, and then I came back a little later. You had gone right past the goal. Okay, I said, this is going very well. So really good.
I'm a super anxious person in it. So I try my best to, watch my favorite show when crowdfunding went on. and then listen to a lot of music and try to avoid checking my phone every minute or so. So I could, you know, stay away from my phone for 30 minutes. After that, I was like, oh my God, you know. I was refreshing the page and refreshing. And I was like, wow, okay, this is happening.
Yep. Oh. I have to tell you a funny story about Ben Affleck, who was he was Batman. And what happened was that he was picked and they were going to announce it. And Warner Brothers told him, whatever you do, don't go online. Because what they'll do is the first people, if they're either negative or they're highly positive, and you want to be in the middle, so don't do it. Well, of course, that warning made them go straight to the internet, and the very first thing went on there and announced Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. The very first thing was, no. Well, and I got a huge kick out of that. After that, I said, you know, no more computer in this house. He goes, you know, we're not going to do that. So you're on the other end of that spectrum, thankfully.
But here's the thing. On internet, you always will find every kind of opinion and you know, different voices and et cetera. At first, when I started working with comics, I have to say I did this and I used to hear the same thing. Adriana, don't go online. Don't read reviews. Stay away from Reddit or et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. But just like today, after 30 minutes, my book was, you know, released. I was like, okay, let me check what people were, you know, saying. And that's, it's so weird. I mean, we get happy with the positive reviews and the positive comments, but it seems like the negative ones are sometimes the ones that kind of stick, that you remember the most.
Yeah, but don't do that. Enjoy the good stuff while it's going on. There will be negative comics. You know it. It's the internet. It wouldn't be the internet if there weren't negative comics. So we've got to make sure that everybody, you know, cherish the good ones and enjoy those while they happen. Now, I've got to ask a question because I'm a little confused. There's an illustration on that, again, at zoop.gg/C/Adriana Mello, all one word. And when I look at it, the title of the thing says The Art of Adriana Mello. But when I look at the illustration to the left, it says a slightly different name, Adriana Mello Art Book. Do you know which one it is?
That's a very good question. I think it's it's the art book. Because at first, the first thing you're seeing is the first version of the cover. The art book is the official cover.
Okay.
It's the second version.
Maybe by the time this post, Jordan will change the headline on there so it's more unified. But anyway, which leads me to ask, though, that illustration is very pretty. Who is that? There's a girl, she's got a blue gown on, and there's blue all around her. Who is that character? Is that a character you developed?
So, that's the funny thing. At first, I'm crazy. For Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is one of my favorite characters ever. And at first I was like, oh, I would love if I could use, oh, silly me, okay, this is a newbie error, you know. I was like, oh, what if I draw like a super kick-ass awesome cover for my art book? Of course, I'm going to talk with the C to see if I can use the illustration. I've been doing, you know, comics for a while, and I was working for DC. And at the time, you know, once I finished the Wonder Woman cover I had in mind, and I talked with my my editor, she said, so you can't use for your artwork, you know, one of our characters. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, of course. I was so into drawing Diana. Mm-hmm. I never mm-hmm. thought about the obvious thing that is, yeah, it's not your character. Mm-hmm. So everything was already set for the crowdfunding. We were still working on PDF and, you know, picking up which art would be in there, which one, oh, maybe the volume 2 or whatever. And I thought, okay, I need a cover. What do I do? Mm-hmm. So I tried to put together two things I love. Mm-hmm. One, I love Art Nouveau. I love Alphonse Mucha. I love that style, full of movement and details. And when I started doing comics, I wasn't working for DC, but I was already really, really into Alphonse Mucha artwork. I did a couple of pieces, just pencil and ink, with Poison Ivy and super traditional Art Nouveau. So I thought, okay, I want something new. I want something based on that, that has the basic idea of Art Nouveau is, but I want something modern. And I was just going through, I have a huge folder in my computer. Every time I see a picture I like, I see something that can turn into reference, I save there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make some fresh espresso. I'm going to sit here in my studio, and I need to find the picture that would turn into a good reference for who would be the face of the book.
Cool.
And in one of the references, I had said that, I don't know, I have on my computer for, I don't know, years, a few years at least. I saw a picture of a girl dancing, and there was like this super shiny and beautiful fabric around her body. And then I thought, okay, I love this picture. I love the movement. I love the fabric. And I love Alphonse Mucha. Let's put everything together. So I have the image.
Mm-hmm.
You are the second person today that asked me about that. Who's the girl and if it is a character.
Mm-hmm.
So far, she doesn't have a name. I don't think she's a character yet, but I'm starting to think that, yeah, I should do something with her.
Very good.
Turn her into a character, an original character or something.
Mm-hmm. I heard you say something that as somebody who puts together ads and newsletters and such, I have often gone around when I see something that I like design-wise or something, I make a copy of it and I put it in a folder. And mm-hmm. later on, like when I was doing my resume, I thought, boy, I have such a blah-looking resume. It looks like an accountant did it. And so I went back and looked through all the designs of pages and stuff, and I found one I really liked, and I did my resume like that. And I said, boy, thank goodness I had done that. I'd pulled that aside because that helped me get a good design in my head that I could work from. So I really like that. So I'm happy that's to hear cool. you say that kind of stuff. So that's
oh,
good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that everything can inspire you. Everything can turn into reference for you, no matter if you're drawing, if you're writing, if you're painting, if you're coloring something. Everything can inspire you and turn into a reference. A movie, a cartoon, an anime, a picture, a photograph. So I try to have on my computer like folders, although my HD engine doesn't help me that much to be that organized. But I fight against that, and I have my folders, music and the photographs, etc. Things that I can use as reference to create my own artwork, picture, comic, whatever. And it's funny, right? Even sometimes a song, because, you know, we are comic book artists, we work primarily with images, but I was talking about that the other day with a friend of mine. Songs can also be awesome to inspire you for an action scene or a special cover. You have to a dynamic kind of cover with a lot of action happening. I have a playlist like that on my Spotify that I use from time to time, depending on what I'm working on.
Very good. Very good. That's cool. Because I often see people using music. Like some people will, when they do a book, they will put a playlist to listen to while you're reading the comic. So I'm always interested in that kind of, because music and comics, I think, go well together. So that's kind of cool. Now, I was curious to find out about your journey to get into comics. How did you, I mean, what age did you just kind of realize art was getting to be your thing?
I have to say, maybe since I was a kid, back in Brazil, I was always crazy about drawing, about art in general. My mom used to say that I, instead of playing, you know, with dolls and stuffed animals and things like that when I was a little kid, my thing was lay on the floor, a lot of papers around me, my notebook, and spend the entire afternoon just sketching, whatever comes to mind. So at the time, I was around 8-9 years old. In Brazil, we have this character that is huge. In Brazil, to be honest, is as big and as famous as Mickey, Minnie, Donald Duck. And the name of this comic book is Monica's Gang. It's a group of kids. It's a comic book created in the 60s, late 60s, if I'm not mistaken, by an artist called Mauricio de Souza. And as a kid, that's all I used to read. Oh, actually, Monica's Gang plus Mickey, Minnie. I used to love reading a book from Disney. Was an old comic book from Goofy. In Brazil, the name of this collection of stories were Pateta by Zoya, or Goofy as a famous character in history. And that's the funny thing. As a kid, even, you know, as I was super young, I remember reading that story, that Goofy story in particular. And it was Goofy as Leonardo da Vinci. And the story, usually, you know, comic book for kids, it's like a panel after panel after panel, and it tends to be kind of boring, just block and blocks. Mm-hmm. But that one in particular, Goofy as Leonardo da Vinci, I remember it had a super different kind of storytelling, and 10 panels per page, and there was close-ups, and something Goofy did on the first panel, it was running a some detail or something in the story was happening in the background. And on the last panel, the 10th panel, there would be a mention, of something that happened on the first panel. So as a kid, I thought, oh, this is different. This is really, really different. At the time, I remember thinking, I wish Monica's Gang did that kind of storytelling or that kind of dynamic way to work the panels, etc. And that also something that made me think, I want to do that for a living when I grow up. That's what I want to do for a living. And, you know, usually everyone, like, when your auntie goes to visit you or your grandma and they are talking to you when you're a kid, and the thing is, what do you want to do when you grow up? You say, and I used to say, I want to work with comic books. I want to be an artist. And I remember my family going, you know, like,
yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. That's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my first superhero comic book. The first one I got to read, I was 16 years old. I never, before that, I never read Batman, Superman, X-Men, nothing. Because I grew up in the 80s. /90s, and in Brazil there was this very strong message of there are comic books for girls and there are comic books for boys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a girl, you shouldn't read that. Mm-hmm. Vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And when you grow up listening to the same message over and over and over, you tend to believe that that's the truth. So, it wasn't just my family. In the 80s, that was the norm. Watching movies and cartoons, etc., there was this very clear, like, there was this wall that you shouldn't skip over. So, in my brain, I was like, okay, so as superheroes, no, this is for boys. I don't want to read that. That's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, Adriana. So what do you want to do for a living when you grow up? And I said, I want to work with comic books. Yes, but I think I want to draw for kids. But that's the thing. At 16, I had, I was in high school, and I got a very interesting homework from my art teacher. Everyone in a room, in a classroom, supposed to pick up a comic, and at home, as homework, copy the entire page. The characters, background, etc., and paint, use the colors to understand more what comics can be, and it could be any kind of comic book. It could be a horror comic book, it could be a child's, a kid's comic book, any genre you can think of. At the time, that comic book was The Death of Superman.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, well, you know what? I never read comic books. Superhero comic books, everyone is talking about that. So, yeah, let's see what it's all about. Man, I remember when I bought the book and I got home, I finished reading like in like 30 minutes or so. And I because in Brazil, they used to sell the entire collection in just one book. So, right. Like, yeah, the Death of Superman would be like a trade paper mark, so like 60 pages or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so fun. There's adventure. There's comedy. There's horror. Why took me 16 years to create a superhero comic book? And I thought, oh gosh, this thing about a comic book for girls or comic book for boys, this is BS. There shouldn't be any type of separation. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love for superhero comics right there. I copied a page, I did the homework, and I took an A. My teacher really liked the drawings, and I was like, oh my God, I love Tom Rumit. Oh my God, I love the Germans. I love this.
Wow.
And at the time in Brazil, we used to have a library, a comic book library. It was from the government, was a small building. And then I thought, okay, took me 16 years to read my first comic book with superheroes and et cetera. I need to read more. I need to learn more. I need to know more characters. It's time for me to dive into this new world. And so to sum things up, after that, I used to go to high school. And after I left the school in the afternoon, I used to spend like an hour or 2 hours at that library, just reading comic after comic after comic. And then I fell in love for other characters like X-Men and Wonder Woman. And I got to get to know the artwork of other amazing, amazing artists. Alan Davis turned into my favorite one.
Wow. Of course, it makes perfect sense. Now, how did you actually start to do it professionally? Did you submit like pieces of art and somebody picked and hired you to do that? How did that happen?
So yeah, it was mid-90s at the time. So imagine, hey, I'm gonna sound like an old lady now, but in a world without internet. I just knew that I wanted to do comic books, but I had no clue how to make it happen. So the only thing I could do at the time was reading comics. And now I know that I was practicing. At the time, I had no idea, but I was like, oh, I really like this drawing from Alan Davis. So I'm going to copy this drawing. And I'm going to learn more about anatomy, and I'm going to learn more about, storytelling, etc. So what happened in that was, that's interesting because it was everything that I'm telling you happened in like in 1 year, 2 year time. I fell in love with comic books. I want to do that for a living. Then I remember reading on newspaper in Brazil a long, long interview with Roger Cruz, a Brazilian that at the time was working for Marvel. And he was saying, oh, yeah, so if you want to work with this, you should read comics. You should study, anatomy, and you should practice. And I thought, oh, wow, cool. That's exactly what I'm doing here. And at the end of the interview, he said, I'm going to be on the first Comic-Con in São Paulo. It was a small Comic-Con, nothing like we have now at CCXP. And that day, and me and Mark Campos, that was another Brazilian artist working for Marvel and DC at the time, we're going to have a panel there, and we're going to evaluate portfolios. The portfolio we like, we're going to give our agent number to that person.
Oh, boy.
So I thought, yeah. Oh, my God. It needs to happen. But, I knew nothing at the time. So by portfolio, you know, with me and my folder was like 10, 12 pages that I sketch from point. They were filled with sketches and studies I did of anatomy. And I used to get like catalogs and fashion magazines from my mom and copy the pictures there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my portfolio to show to two artists that was already working for Marvel. And at the time, I was like, I hope they like it. I didn't know better. The only thing I did extra was, at the time, I was in love with Gambit and Rogue, romance and art and storyline. So I drew like 2-3 pinups, like 11 by 17, and I colored, and I thought, okay, so I'm bringing my sketchbook and those three pinups as my portfolio, and let's see what happens after that. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, they picked up me.
Wow.
By the end of the panel. Yeah.
Wow. Good for you.
So that's how I started.
They
liked my quote unquote portfolio. I got to talk with their agent and I start, practicing and get in touch with them and talk about, getting tips and, ideas of how to get better, how to convey a story line better to make it interesting, etc. And after a few months, the agent called me and said, so Adriana, they're looking for someone for a one-shot of Iron Man. Would you be interested? I said, of course I am. So me and another, I think, five or six guys at the time there was also trying to start working for Marvel. We all sent that. At that time, I had a proper portfolio and I had a lot of pages I drew with Iron Man in. And yeah, by the end of the day, Marvel picked me.
Wow.
So my first comic book ever was Iron Man, and I was 19.
Wow. Wow. Good for you. That's amazing. That is truly amazing. Well, you know what? All that has certainly paid off because on the Zoop.gg page, you had two $1,000 pages, 11 by 17 full figure grayscale commissions, and they both went within the first few hours. And you had a $400 one for an original art for Jean Grey, a Kitty Pride for $500, an original Black Cat art that went for $500. Man, they're just flying. I understand by the time this post, there's probably going to be other artwork up there for you to have a look at. So keep it up. You're doing wonderful stuff as far as this goes. It's just terrific. It's so nice to hear because, so many people have always talked about how hard it was to get in the business. They did all this stuff. Nothing happened, but it was nice to hear something that people recognized what you were doing and saw the talent and ability in you. And I think that's great.
Yeah. And there was always at the time the thing, wow, you were at the time when I got to the panel, a lot of guys thought that I was there, with my boyfriend.
Right.
I was with my brother. And I was like, nope. I'm bringing my own artwork.
Wow. Have you found that these days it's a little easier for women as creators of comic books?
Well, I have to say that in general, now that kids have internet, when I started, it was just panels and phone and calling people and whatever. Even with internet and a possibility of you to talk with editors on social media and going to shows and having, your portfolio evaluated, etc., I still think it's pretty tough. I'll say that, and this is awesome, there's a ton of girls that are, the number of women working, drawing comics, or writing comics, it's getting better year by year. In Brazil, I'm glad to say, there will always be misogynistic people, but in general, comics, they are seeing the invisible I talked about before, kind of still there, but it got smaller. So I've gone to shows in Brazil, like CCXP, that is huge. I get to meet a ton of artists. Some want to work, with drawing superheroes, yes, but most of them, they want to tell their own story with their own characters. And we have something that I love. We have a collective of girls, women in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And year after year, they've been getting awards in Brazil and being recognized for their artwork, their writing. And the fun thing about it is their book, it's not about superheroes. It's about hardcore horror.
Mm.
And it's awesome.
Wow.
Oh my God, my meds of ATD wear off. That's why I'm talking dumb stuff. But the point is, it is tough getting into comics because, the same way internet can make easy for everyone,
mm-hmm.
it also make easy to more, it helps a number of people, a huge number of the people everywhere in the world to try to get to work in the same book you want. So the competition is way, way bigger.
Mm. But see, I think people like you, and granted, social change sometimes happens slowly. And you, of course, are standing on the shoulders of the women who came before you. And, but you're our hope, of course, the great thing is your talent just shines so much to people. I think that your gender was less important than what you could do and what you could create. And I think that I hope that as an industry, as we continue to try to move forward, we get to have more people like you leading the way and more women. It's so much fun for me when I go to comic shops and there's women. The store that I go to regularly, there's a woman is the owner and the person who does all the ordering and stuff like that. And so I love talking with her. It's so much fun for me when I get honestly in the industry. You can talk to guys if you're doing a podcast like mine every week if you wanted to. To talk to a woman is like Christmas for me. It's this is so great. Something new and wonderful for me to enjoy. And so that's why when I got a chance to talk with you, I said, boy, this is going to be fun because I get to talk with a creator who's just doing all kinds of wonderful things. And the fact that you're a woman is less important than the wonderful stuff that you do. And I just think that's terrific.
No, that's a crazy thing. When I started, I never thought of myself as, okay, I'm a girl drawing comics. I was like, oh, I love to draw and I love comics. That's the only thing I had in my mind. And it's, oh, actually, so I can't understand the concept of gender will, you know, dictate what you have to do for a living or what you might like or not like, you know? And I remember what got me into comics was especially all, you know, those afternoons that I spent in the comic book library and here in there in Brazil. I was super into horror since I was a kid. And I remember, you know, reading comic books about werewolves and about zombies and thinking, oh my God, that's so cool. Look, all this gore. That's awesome. And then I went to Chris Claremont and Alan Davis run on X-Men. And there was the that arc of Wolverine and Sabretooth. And there was, you know, adventure and action. And in my eyes was so fun. I never for a second I thought, oh, I'm a girl and I'm here and I'm reading. I was like, oh my God, this is awesome.
But see, I think what you're doing, that is how the barriers get broken down, is because you don't worry about such things. You just want to do what you enjoy doing. And the fact that you went ahead and made it happen, I just think that is so to be admired and respected. Aww. I think you did such a wonderful thing.
Thank you. It means a lot because I know the way, and by the way, I just want to pointed out that probably everyone noticed, but English is not my first language, and I get very anxious when I have to talk, even in a podcast like that. So I'm sorry. I hope I'm making myself, you know, something I'm telling you. I hope that the stories I'm telling here make some sense.
Well, you're doing great. I have to say, you're doing a wonderful job, and I think you're going to inspire hopefully a lot more women creators who want to move forward into the industry.
So I know the way I'm telling my story, it might sound like, oh, things were easy. So she's been working with comics since she was 19. So my first book. Yeah, I was 19 years old when I got to do to work for Marvel, and then after the Iron Man book, I did a mini series about Fantastic Four. The name was Fantastic Four Unplugged, and then I got to work with Star Wars Empire, but throughout my career, I had to kind of click the a button of stop and then another button going back a couple of times. I had a couple of pauses in my life. I had my daughter all those years ago, and when she was around four or five years old, I was like, okay, it's time to go back to comics because that's the only thing I see myself doing. And I went to the same stair, like, you know, trying to climb the stair again, calling friends and calling colleagues and going, so I know it's been a few years. I would love to go back to comics. And at the time, I heard the same thing. Yeah, you have to go back into practicing. And then you have to go back into creating pages so we can show to your editors. And that happened when I had my daughter, later when I had depression. And then after when my mom got sick with Alzheimer's. So for three moments in my career I had to stop, deal with whatever I was feeling at the time, and then going back from like first stage one, per se. So I feel like in my career I had like three times when I started it.
Well, you know, reality gets in the way of comics sometimes.
Yes.
You know, because I'm an editor on a, what they call an indie comic, like a smaller print run comic. And the guy who created it, he got sick at one point and he had to drop out for a while. And, you know, it was interesting to see who still worked with him and wanted to work with him even after a time away for a while. And that's when you find out who your true friends are, because the good ones stick with you and they support you even when you're not this, like the old Janet Jackson song, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?" Yeah. The other people are the ones that get there and support you and keep going. So, you know, obviously, when you look at the artwork that you've done, and we talked about before we started recording, you have a $2,000 full figure commission in color. And I have to say, there's no way you can look at that picture and think that was easy. You worked hard on that one. And one of the, you had two offered. As we're talking, one of them is already claimed. And I bet you by the time this posts, the second one will be gone too. But I have to say, if anybody thinks that you're not working hard, they are not looking at your artwork, because you put a lot of time and effort and really do make a beautiful picture when you put it together.
You know, I think the gist of everything is I love comics, but I really love drawing comics. And I love drawing characters and thinking about the ambience and what they are thinking while I'm drawing. And sometimes the clock is not a friend of mine, especially when I tend to kind of get lost when I'm, you know, in a piece, when I'm doing, when I'm working on the cover or in a page or even in a painting. If I really like the character, if I really like the idea, I keep adding details and a couple of leaves flowing in the background when the page is supposed to be done by noon and it's already midnight and I'm still adding details to it. I think that's the thing. I love drawing comics and I like to think that it shows in my artwork.
I'm sure it does. Do you know who George Perez is? Or was? He was. He is. It's when I buy comics, I'm so glad I was buying comics when he was doing stuff. I would see him at a con stuff. I would buy his stuff as much as I could from him because I loved the detail that he would pour. Yeah, I asked him one time because he was doing these larger books, these great big books. He said, I asked him, I said, what's it like doing the larger books? He says, no, he says, I hope they don't tell me it's a larger book, because I'll sit there trying to put details, more and more and more details in it. Just don't tell me it's that big. Let me just think it's a smaller one. And they'll blow it up a little bigger and stuff like that. But that's the way he was. I would ask him, where does this inspiration come from when you do this stuff? Because he would have a sparkle in somebody's eye and it would shine off the page. And I said, where's it come from? I don't know. It's just in my head. That's where it comes from. But you can tell when people love what they're doing. And when you get lost in it, that's a great sign that your artwork is going to really sparkle and really resonate with people. It's just great.
And I have to say, George Perez, Wonder Woman, is my all-time favorite. It's my favorite, Diana.
He did a beautiful job with her. He just, like I said, he did that JLA Avengers crossover by the skin of his teeth. He got to do it. And I was so happy. And I felt so badly when he left us, because I just knew, I was thinking, I'm not going to get to enjoy new pieces of his art anymore. The good news is, while he was still, you know, I would go to conventions and he would be doing like a panel supposedly, but he had people wanting to get artwork from him and like little drawings and stuff, he wouldn't make it to the panels because he was so busy drawing artwork for the fans.
Aww,
he would spend hours and hours and hours drawing all this wonderful stuff. And the good news is some of that's actually making its way onto the internet right now. So I get to see stuff I haven't seen before. So, gosh, I bet that day's going to come when we get to see your stuff start coming around and enjoy it as well. So when I look at it, I swear to you, I can't imagine how many hours it took to do these things because, man, it is just amazing.
Yeah, that piece, the Wonder Woman piece that mm-hmm. is on Zoo Page,
mm-hmm.
took me like 3 days.
Wow.
Because I kept adding stuff and trying different things. And I also have to give a big shout out to my husband because, yeah, he's super, super, super into comic books. I like to say that he's like my little personal, you know, like Google, because sometimes I get a script and I say, so, dear, I need to draw that scene. And with that character and the other character, I don't really. And he's like, okay, so if you get the Justice lead numbers, so and so, page chat, he remembers.
Boy.
So when we started dating like 7 years ago or so, he also went to not just into comic books, but also went to commissions and original art, etc. So he's the one that started talking to me about, hey, do you ever try to use markers or watercolors in your pieces? Because if you do the color digitally, you know how to do that in any other medium. You just need to get used to use that medium. And I was like, to be honest, I never tried watercolor. And bang, then the next time we've met, Bill would bring me like watercolor and Copic markers and give me as a gift and say, hey, have fun with that. And you know, I start playing with markers and with watercolors and pencil colors. And I thought, okay, the same thing I felt, you know, learning and falling in love for comics, I'm feeling again using Copics and markers and grayscale and learning how they work together. And, you know, the how fun it is to work with mixed media.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Wonder Woman piece you're seeing there, and to be honest, every piece that is in the book, the art book, mm-hmm. that is colored with traditional medium, I got there because of all, you know, the support I've got from Bill. And he was like, try this, try that, try the other thing. And at first I was super afraid because I only knew at the time, you know, I only did commissions black and white or mm-hmm. just pencils.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, even the book, to be honest, the prompt for me mm-hmm. was his idea.
Oh, wow.
Because I was always like, I don't know. Do you really think people will, you know, go for my art book? And he was like, yeah. People like your work and people follow, you know, the books mm-hmm. and the characters you've been mm-hmm. Working on throughout the year. So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Wow. Sounds like you guys make a great team.
We do.
Sounds great. Well, once again, it's if you go to zoop.gg/seasoncat/Adriana Mello. And by the way, you were telling me before we started recording, this is going to have 72 pages in it, right?
Yes, 72.
That'll be good. So it's definitely a good book, something worth by. And unfortunately, the early read will be gone by the time this posts, but There's tip jars. There's covers that you head sketches you can have done. You can get, of course, the book itself, which is all be good. There's you can get signed copies. You can get remarks in there.
Yes.
All kinds of wonderful things in there. And I just bet you by the time this posts, you'll be heading up around three times your goal at least. And good news will be keeping coming. This is going to end the way we figure it. And, of course, I'm terrible with math, but I have a feeling it's going to end around March 20th. Or it may get extended, yes. Who knows. But right around that time. Don't wait until that time. When you get done listening to this interview, be sure to go there and support, because we need to get as much support as we can, so that Adriana can do all kinds of good stuff and maybe even do her art book too in the future. It would be fun.
Just today, this afternoon, to give you an example, I was going through another folder in my computer and I found out more commissions that I forgot to add to the book. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this Wonder Woman. I forgot about this Harley Quinn. And there was color pieces like Wonder Woman and her metal armor. Oh, she's so pretty. And depending on how things go with this, I hope to do more. There are more commissions to show to the world. There are more pieces hidden in the studio.
I'm thinking there's good things in your future, because, boy, all this good stuff that's happening, I just think it's just really wonderful. And there's a second art book in your future, I have a feeling, and as well as other good books to do. So, Adriana, it's been a pleasure to talk with you, and I cannot wait for people to learn more about your book and get a chance to try it out. And keep supporting your stuff, because it's gorgeous stuff. And, man, I just have a feeling this is only the beginning for you. I think we're going to see lots and lots more.
Well, I have to – can I give a little spoiler? although at first I'm planning to do that just for shows. March on, I have like 7-8 shows throughout the year. I'm planning to have a sketchbook that I'm going to sell only at shows at first.
Oh, okay.
And that sketchbook has a theme, and the theme is a weekend at Savage Land. Remember this swimsuit from the late 90s with the X-Men going to the beach? Mm-hmm. So I want to do the same thing, the same 90s vibe, but at Savage Land.
Wow.
Do something funny.
Well, there's good things coming for you in the future. I can already tell. If people want to follow you online or through social media, how do they do that?
So, let me see. I'm on Blue Sky. So, at Blue Sky, my handle is Adriana Mello. On Instagram is Adriana Mel, and then a zero instead of O. I also have my fan page on Facebook, and adrianamelo.com. It's my gallery.
Cool. Good. Okay. Well, one last time, it's at zoop.gg/seasoncat/Adriana Mello. And be sure to get there and support, because we want more than just one art book from her. We want lots of art books. So be sure to support her.
And thanks for inviting me to be on your podcast. I had a great time. It's always fun to talk about art and comic books and everything.
If you're enjoying this show, I would greatly appreciate your support. For $5 a month, you can ensure I'm able to bring you interviews with comic creators week after week. You can support the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Check out that address, again, patreon.com/majorspoilers, for more information. Thanks in advance.
Could people need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.